Blog Talk Radio. My Blog Talk listeners, I'm hoping you're enjoying your spring. We're almost ready for summertime. The kids will be out of school soon. I know right now my nieces are going to their finals. I think they get out on the 19th. And one is going off to college. She graduates next week, and it's going to be something I'm very proud of. Tonight, I'm hoping, let me first say this. I'm hoping everyone has had a great week and is still having a great week because the week is not over with. It won't be over with until Sunday. So I'm hoping you guys are having a great week. And I know you guys are looking forward to the Memorial holiday that's coming up. I think it's next Monday. So you get a little bit, some of you, not everybody's going to be able to get off for work from work for that day because, as you know, it is a federal holiday. But for those who have to work, we'll be thinking about you. Anyway, tonight, the subject that we're going to talk about is rape or sexual assault. And it's something that I wanted to revisit. And the reason why I wanted to revisit this subject is because it is a very touchy subject, and it's a very true subject. And it's summertime getting ready to come in. We have a lot of young women who are going either off to college or going to the next higher grade, graduating, and you guys have to be very careful. I know people are having pool parties, graduation parties, spring break. You know, all of that has passed. Well, the spring break has. But I'm quite sure during that time a lot of stuff has happened to a lot of young women who right now to this day are keeping quiet. And they're not talking about what happened to them. Young ladies, let me say this to you guys all, and older women, because we have an opportunity. We have there's a time when we do stupid stuff, too. We get drunk, and before you know it, something's happened. You don't know who did it, and you're blanked out. And we have to get control of ourselves as young women, okay, and older women. Be careful of your surroundings. Know who's around you. You know, be familiar. Get some names. Don't just drink till you can't drink anymore. I mean, I don't call that celebrating. That's sort of like stupidity. I mean, it's nothing wrong with having a good time, but there's a time when you got to pay attention to what you're doing and who you're with when you're doing it. Okay? So that's the reason why I wanted to revisit this subject. Because of situations that can happen and someone is getting hurt. Now, please do not think that this is a woman or girl abuse or crime. Males get raped just as much as women do. Okay, so keep that in mind. Just as much as females do, males get raped. Males are more apt not to tell anyone because how can you say I've been raped? A male can't. Phantom to say that. There are some out there that are brave enough to tell someone, but majority of the time, they don't. So I think about them in their silence and their hurt also, okay? Anybody who tells you it's all right, it's something wrong with them. Any husband that thinks it's all right for him to rape his wife, to get control over her, to power her, to let her know that she's a small person and he's a big person, that's not healthy. That's not healthy at all. And women, we have to be much more smarter. You know, what amazes me about us as women, grown women, women who's been out in the world a long time, who survived a lot of things, we still are lacking in some part of us when it comes to men. We lose our self-control. We lose our sensibility when it comes to men. And I harp on that is because we do. Because men seem to be able to make us forget everything. Why, I don't know. I've never understood that. But men seem to make us forget who we are, where we come from, who we could be, who we're not. I mean, they make us feel like we have to, you know, devour everything, avoid everything or just walk away from everything just for them. Women, you have to be more empowering. You have to be. You have to grasp your common sense, your grasp roots of who you are and stick to it and allow them to grow, okay? And I say this because it all ties in with rape, not to say that it's your fault that you get raped. I'm just saying if we pay more attention, and I say that for a healing thing for me, because if I would have paid more attention to the signs, and I am a rape victim. I have been raped in the past, and I'm not saying this to be shamed. I'm not saying it to be proud, but for me to admit to an audience, a listening audience, and I also mentioned it on my Facebook because I wanted people to listen into the show tonight. I can truly say that I am a survivor of rape. Now, that just means that I've survived it after all these years. I've been able to cope, and that's sad because I've been, okay, enough about me, but I just want to let you guys know that I can't talk about this unless I know I have experienced it, and that I have experienced it, and I know what it is, and I know the impact of it. After even so many years later, you still have repercussions, and it still affects you. So we have to be very mindful of people who have been victims of rape and sexual assault. I'm going to let you listen to this. It's called Raining, Rape and Incest. I want you to listen to the different video. I know you probably.
Hotline, two ways to get help. First, you can call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-HOTE. You'll be connected to a counselor in your local area, and that counselor is specially trained to help you in the immediate aftermath of a rape with medical and legal questions. In many areas of the country, they'll pick you up and take you to the hospital. They can also help you months or years after the attack with the emotional after effects. The telephone hotline has helped over 1.2 million people since we started it in 1994. Now it helps about 9,000 people a month. Some people are more comfortable picking up the phone and talking about it, but a lot of victims have trouble verbalizing or just aren't quite ready to talk about it, or they're embarrassed by it for some reason. Teens were by the thousands were going to chat rooms and blogs and MySpace and Facebook and pouring out intimate details of their attack. So given our experience with the National Sexual Assault Telephone Hotline, we felt we needed to build a really secure, anonymous way for folks to get help online. You can go to our website at wayne.org, click on Get Help Now, and you'll go into a live one-on-one conversation with someone specially trained to help you. and provide the services that you need. Both telephone hotline and the online hotline are free, they're confidential, they're anonymous, they're available 24 hours a day, and our folks are specially trained to help you however you have, whether it's medical questions, legal questions, how to navigate the criminal justice system, or whether you need emotional support hours or even years after the attack.
Okay, that was a commercial, excuse me, a video by RAINN. It's RAINN.org, and it's rape and abuse. I don't want to say it wrong because it's rape and abuse and incest national network is what it's called. It's RAINN, RAINN. And I thought that was very interesting. And they also have a hotline. It's 1-800-656-HOPE, 1-800-656-HOPE. So they can help you in any parts of the country, and they've been in business since 1995, if I'm not mistaken. That's what he said, 1995. And I wanted to talk about the effects of rape, I guess. And everyone knows, first of all, everybody knows what rape is. And that's the violation, sexual violation of male or female, okay? It's very violent. It says sexual violence violates a person's trust, and feeling of safety. It occurs any time a person is forced, coerced, and or manipulated into unwanted sexual activity. The child dates and acquaintances, rape, marriage, partner, sexual activity, sexual contact, sexual harassment, sexual exposure, human trafficking, and voyeurism. Rape is a crime. Keep that in mind. Rape is a crime. It is motivated by the need to control, hurt by sexual desire. Rapists use sex as a weapon to dominate a person or a victim. Okay? So I just let you know what rape is. Okay? Now, let's talk about statistics. Let's talk about statistics. The statistics of rape or sexual assault. 3 out of 4 rapes and sexual assaults, are committed by classmates or dates. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, victims of rape, nearly 3 out of 4 incidents, the offender was not a stranger. And the data, it says in 90% of children younger than 12, the victims 18 to 29 years old had a prior relationship with that victim. Nearly 7 in 10, or 70%, rapes and assaults victims. 18% of female rape or sexual assault victims identified, and sexual assaults came at the hands of a person they knew, and 2% were identified as other relatives. In 2000, 17% of rape or sexual assault victims, men versus women, were raped or sexual assault by intimate partners. Acquaintance rape and date rape are more common than alcoholism. And I never call it rape. The something that I can't remember what that says. Okay. Reveals an experience that met the legal definition of rape. 1 in 9 Americans, 13 adults abuse alcohol. 1 in 21 Americans have a history of heart attack or angina. 73% of female victims of rape and sexual assault knew their assailant. 28% of female rape or sexual assault victims identified and sexual assaults came at the hands of a person they frequently knew, and 7% identified as other relative. I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself. A recent study on women who have been physically assaulted, 68% of women have also been sexually assaulted. Victims' physical and psychological injuries, her older child for depression. She had to get her child treated for depression. In addition, 27% of women surveyed started using drugs. Usually it's cocaine or nicotine after they were sexually abused. So, think about it. How important it is to know your surroundings going on in your life or around you. Okay? Next, I want to talk about the realities of sexual violence. People don't lie about being sexually abused. Remember, whenever a person experiences sexual assault, the idea that a deterrent to there is automatically a deterrent to seek help. Additionally, victims or survivors blame for what had happened to them. They blame themselves for what had happened to them. Because of this, sexually assault reports left often do not get help most of the time. Okay? Why do people think this way? There are many thoughts about why people think others. Survivor wants revenge. Woke up the next morning, these ideals are false. Additionally, the general public does know and respect are capable of committing sexual assault. People that you know are capable. People that you don't think would do it are capable of sexual assault. And we have to keep that in mind. Let me see something here. That's what I want. I'm sorry, you guys. I need to do something here because I'm hello? Okay. I'm sorry, you guys. I got disconnected some kind of way. I don't know what happened. But I got totally disconnected. Okay. Let's see, where did I leave off at? Let's see. I was right here. Okay. Go back to where I was talking. Okay. Let's see. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to figure out where I left off at. I lost my spot when this happened to me. Where did it go?
This is very bad for me. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, you guys. I've lost my spot. Let me talk about something different than that now that I've lost my spot. Let's go back to the home. Let's see. I'm sorry. When I got disconnected, it kind of just blew me away. I didn't know what to do. Okay. I think I found where I need to be. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Okay. We were discussing people don't lie about being sexually assaulted is what we were talking about before I got cut off. I'm hoping I can stay on. Now, let's see. Here we go. It says, okay. It says, whenever a person experiences sexual assault, the ideal that will not be believed often acts as a deterrent to seeking help. Additionally, victims or survivors of sexual assault are also often blamed for what has happened to them. Because of this, the other factors people who have been sexually assaulted report less often and do not get the help they need at a time when it is very much needed. Okay, there are many thoughts about why people think others lie about being sexually assaulted. The victim or survivor wants revenge, woke up the next morning and regretted having sex, etc. All of these ideals are false. Additionally, the general public does not want to believe that others they know and respect are capable of committing sexual assault. And that is so true. Believe me, that is true. The fact is, the FBI collects data on all crimes. And has found that people falsely report being sexually assaulted at the same rate as other comparable crimes, 3% of the time. Sexual assault occurs at the rate much higher than what is actually reported. So, in other words, instead of thinking that people lie about being sexually assaulted, the opposite is true. People are afraid to admit that they have been sexually assaulted. Excuse me. Because of the fear and pain that is associated with their lived experience. Now, if you have ever been even hit or hurt by someone, it's 10 times worse, okay, when somebody violates the very being of who you are, takes away your sense of stability, your sense of security, your sense of safety. It takes away everything. It's like stripping you, and everybody can see it. That's almost what the same way it is. Everybody can't see it simply because you haven't told everybody, but they can read it on your face. Some people can see it, you know, if they've known somebody else who's been in that predicament, they know it. They can see it. The way you act, you have changed. You know, you're so quiet. You're not talking. You're off to yourself. You know, those are signs that you need to watch out when it comes to your young girls, when it comes to your girlfriends, because right off the bat, you can't run and tell your girlfriends what happened to you, okay? It just doesn't happen like that. You find your way trying to, okay, I need to tell somebody, but who do I tell? You know, sometimes you don't tell your parents, but it's something that you need to come to grips with, and while you're trying to come to grips with it, all the signs are there. You're allowing the signs to show. You still haven't told anybody. Okay? Excuse me. The media falsely portrays those who commit sexual assault in a stereotypical way, which influences how people form ideals around the issue. As a result, the general public is given the wrong impression of who is actually committing sexual assault. Okay? The fact is, the majority of people who commit sexual assault are everyday people who are married with children and regular jobs. They are also college students, family members, co-workers, etc. Their behavior is what makes them sexual predators, not their lifestyle. This does not mean that stranger rape does not happen. It does. But most victims or survivors of sexual assault know their perpetrator. And that is so true. They know who that person is. Believe it or not, people who are in relationships can be sexually assaulted by their partners. You know, I'm going to say this because this is an adult channel and I can say this. You have people who like to play role playing, okay? Keep that in mind. There's a difference in role playing. I mean, when it comes to husband and wife, when it comes to relationships, people do different things to spice up their relationship. If role playing is one of them, then they do that. But let me say this. There is a difference in playing and seriously hurting someone. There is a big difference. Okay? There is a big difference. So you as a person would know the difference. You should. Okay? Just because people are in a relationship does not mean that their partner cannot hurt them in a sexual, violent way. That is very true. Okay? Now, it says, one reason people think that people who are married or in committed relationships cannot sexually assault each other is because they have had sex with that person before. It doesn't matter. Perhaps even for years, with permission. Therefore, there is a widely held belief that if one has given consent once, twice, or over the years, then getting consent in the future is not necessary. That is totally not true. The fact is, research suggests that marital rape accounts for 25% of all rape. Sexual assault between persons in a relationship or what is called intimate partner rape occurs in various ways, not just rape. Some of these ways include manipulation, coercion, and pressuring the other person to have sex or to perform sexual activities when that person does not want to. No matter how long two people have been together, or how many times they have had consensual sex in the past, does not give one person permission to sexually assault their partner. That is very much well understood as in black and white. It is a crime to sexually assault your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, or your boyfriend. Each time people engage in sex with their partners, they should use checking in language and use good communication to ensure that each partner is fully present in the decision to have sex. Okay? That is very, very important. Okay? Now, I talked earlier and I mentioned earlier about partying and having a good time. Drunk or drug-facilitated sex can be sexual assault. When drugs or alcohol are used used to lower someone's cognitive thinking skills or ability, gives consent to sexual activity, that is rape. Often when a victim or survivor reports having been intoxicated or on drugs, their story is deemed regret sex, or they just had too much to drink. That is an excuse. Our society is one that uses sex to sell alcohol, which is a drug, and in a result, we are given images of how people are supposed to act. That song by Jamie Foxx called Blame It on Alcohol. Think about that, okay? When they are under the influence. These ideals come directly from the media and alcohol companies, of whom portray women and men in very different roles when they are drinking. Women are portrayed as becoming sexually aroused and highly promiscuous. Men are portrayed as becoming reckless and predatory for sex. In other words, the media sells us ideals of the expectation of alcohol's effect when it leads to justifying the sexual act or dismissing the sex as a drunk sex. Just drunk sex. You wake up in the bed with somebody you don't even know. But you've partied all night. You've drank. Everybody's throwing your drinks. Everybody, you know, like when you go to a club and, you know, oh, he got to buy me a drink. Buy your own drink. Nobody ain't got to buy me a drink. I can go and buy my own drink. I don't want nobody buying me a drink. That's why I have money on me so I can buy my own drink. You don't want nobody to buy you a drink, okay? Because somebody wants something in return. So buy your own drink, women, young girls, young ladies, not girls, but young ladies. Buy your own drinks. Bring your money with you. Don't go to the club with just the money in your pocket to get in the club. Have money on you for a cab just in case you got to take a cab. Have money on you to get to the nearest whatever you need. Just make sure you have an extra amount of money. You don't have to have your purse because people can take that. Watch what you're doing. Be alert at all times. Take it from somebody who knows, okay, or who have experience. Being in a position where I thought I was watchful enough or alert enough, and I wasn't, okay? Now, at least 50% of college students sexual assault associated with alcohol use. But the problem doesn't stop at just college campuses. Alcohol and drug-induced sexual assaults occur inside and outside of homes, workplaces, and social functions. When alcohol and drugs are used as ways to lower a person's inhibition or defenses so that they are not able to give consent, this is sexual assault and punishable under the law. Keep that in mind. It's punishable under the law. So, okay. Let's. Now, we're going to talk about what are the effects of rape, okay? The effects of rape. Many rape and sexual assault victims suffer from rape-related PTSD, and the disorders listed below immediate reactions can be either expressive or subdued. The four major symptoms of rape-related post-traumatic stress disorder are re-experiencing the trauma, uncontrollably intrusive thoughts about the rape, social withdrawal, avoidance behavior as general tendency to avoid any thoughts, feelings, or cues, irritability, hostility, rage, and anger. The most common long-term effects of sexual assault and rape are the invisible ones, okay? The immediate symptoms of rape trauma include having unpredictable and intense emotions. The victim may have exaggerated startle response, may have memories and intrusive thoughts about assault, nightmares, difficulty sleeping, and difficulty concentrating. The long-term psychological effects of rape can include PTSD and rape trauma syndrome, eating disorders, self-injury, self-blame, panic attacks, flashbacks, body memories, and sleeping disorders. Unfortunately, in many cases, these effects can be lifelong if the victim does not get immediate support and care. Some people mask these symptoms in order to cope with society. Now, let's talk about major depressive disorder. This is also a common reaction to sexual assault. Symptoms of MDD can include a depressed mood and an inability to enjoy things, difficulty sleeping, changing in patterns of sleeping and eating, problems in concentration and decision-making, feelings of guilt, hopelessness, and decreased self-esteem. Strongly confirms the negative mental health and social causes of rape victimization. Of course, rape since age 18, 33% of the female rape victims and 24.2% of male victims say they received counseling from a mental health professional as a direct result of their most recent rape. The survey found that 19.4% of the female victims and 9.7% of male victims raped as adults say the victimization caused them to lose time from work. So you know how very, very devastating rape can be when it comes to the effects of it. We have to be, I just wish that was a crime besides murder that we take much more serious. You know, we find ourselves being very cute on some things, but being raped, being a victim of rape, is something is not cute and it's not funny. Anytime someone touches you and you're not asking to be touched or you have no desire to be touched, that is considered a sexual assault. Sexual harassment is when they're saying things to you that you do not. One of the things, let's say, because sexual harassment has many different faces. One of the things is when they're talking to you, making sexual gestures to you, and they're unwelcome. That's a crime. It's a crime. If we can get in our mind that, excuse me, this is a sign. These are the signs. And there are crime, and it is a crime. If we can understand that it's a crime to hurt someone when they're, I mean, to violate someone, I think we can get it in our mindset that people won't do it as much unless somebody's just naturally sick. And the ideal that people you know wants to hurt you, it's amazing. You know, I'm getting a little serious here because talking about this, you know, you can always move on in life, but you never can forget that moment in life when time stops for you, when everything, who you are, what you are, is no longer there at that moment. So I guess that's why this is such a touchy subject, and I wanted to talk about it because I think it's a very important subject, and I'm happy that I did. I just didn't realize that I would, you know. Anyway. Let's see. Women, I finished talking about that part right there. I'm sorry to sound like I'm so unorganized. I'm not really unorganized. I just want to get my thoughts back together to keep in mind what I'm trying to say. And, where am I going with this? A lot of this information I got from, it's called Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape. We got information from RAIN, which is Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. Let's see. Let's play a song, and let's see if I can get my music going. And we'll play a song, and I'll be back, you guys, okay? Just a second. come back. I found some more articles, and the reason I like to read these articles is because it's information that I'm not making up. It's actually real living proof information. So I want to read this. It's called Effects in Aftermath of Rape. It says, effects in aftermath of rape can include both physical trauma and psychological trauma. However, physical force is not necessarily used in rape. The physical injuries are not always consequences. Deaths associated with rape are known to occur, though the prevalence of fatalities varies considerably across the world. For rape victims, the more common consequences of sexual violence are those related to reproductive health, mental health, and social well-being. The physical response to rape, gynecologically, is common physical injuries received by rape victims are vaginal bleeding or infection, fibroids, decreased sexual desire, genital irritation, pain during intercourse, chronic pelvic pain, urinary tract infection. Pregnancy, which is surprising, may result from rape. The rate varies between settings and depends particularly on the extent to which non-barrier contraceptives are being used. A study of adolescents in Ethiopia found among those who reported being raped, 17% became pregnant after the rape, a figure which is similar to 15 to 18% reported by rape crisis centers in Mexico. Okay. A longitudinal study in the United States, over 4,000 women followed for 3 years, found that the national rape-related pregnancy rate was 5% per rape among victims aged 12 to 45 years old, producing over 32,000 pregnancies nationally among women from rape each year. That is a very large number. You know, guys, I didn't get a chance to give you the number to call in on, which is very, very not good for hosts. 1-347-677-1749 was the number to call in. I only have 8 minutes left, and I apologize for not doing that from the get-go. So next time, write down this number, 347-677-1749. That's Chocolate Lady 64 call-in Blog Talk Radio number, okay? Now, it says also, experience of cohort sex at an early age reduces a woman's ability to see her sexuality as something over which she has control. As a result, it is less likely that an adolescent girl who has been forced into sex will use condoms or other forms of contraceptives, increasing the likelihood of her becoming pregnant. You see how every little part of it affects the rest of who you are? That's just amazing how this thing is a long-term physical, mentally, emotional effect on a rape victim. Okay? A study of factors associated with teenage pregnancy in Cape Town, South Africa, found that forced sexual initiation was the third most strongly related factor after frequency of intercourse and the use of modern contraceptives. Forced sex can also result in unattended pregnancy among adult women. In India, a study of married men revealed that men who admitted forcing sex on their wives were 2.6 times more likely to have caused an unintended pregnancy than those who did not admit to such behavior. Should pregnancy result from a first-time encounter, it would carry a higher risk of preeclampsia, the condition in which the mother's body reacts adversely to the protein of the fetus. Transmitted diseases. Violence or forced sex can increase the risk of transmitting HIV. Enforced vaginal penetration, abrasions, and cuts common occur, thus facilitating the entry of the virus through the vaginal mucosa. Adolescent girls are particularly susceptible to HIV infections with forced sex, even through unforced sex, because their vaginal mucous membranes have not yet acquired cellular density sufficient to provide an effective barrier that develops later in their teenage years. So all you crazy men who out there who are sexually assaulting little girls, you are sick. And I'm saying it like it is. You guys are sick, okay? You have no right, okay? Being a victim of sexual violence and being susceptible to HIV share a number of risk behaviors. Forced sex in childhood or adolescence, for instance, increase the likelihood of engaging in unprotected sex, having multiple partners participating in sex work, and substance abuse. Excuse me. People who experience forced sex in an intimate relationship often find it difficult to negotiate condoms used either because using condoms could be interpreted as mistrust of their partners or an admission of promiscuity, or else because they fear experiencing violence from their partners. Sexual coercion among adolescents and among adults is also associated with low self-esteem and depression factors that are associated with many risk behaviors for HIV infection. Research on women in shelters has shown that women who experience both sexual and physical abuse from intimate partners are significantly more likely to have had sexual transmitted disease. Okay. We're going to stop right there on that. Remember, you guys, to talk to young girls, talk to your counselors at school, tell your mom, no matter who did it to you, touched you, said something to you, tell your parents. Make sure you tell your mom. I'm saying mom because majority of the time there's the mom who's in the household. Tell your dad if he is a very big part of your life. Tell somebody. I mean, I know it's going to take a little bit, but once you get up the nerve, tell somebody what happened to you. Make sure you do that. I was watching a show on TV where a lady was raped, and she grabbed some DNA, which means she wiped, I guess she put her hands on his sweat, and she did everything to keep her hands closed so that she could turn his DNA in when she reported her rape. Now, remember this, a lot of women won't report rape. That's just something, you know, they're dealing with, and they feel ashamed and disconnected, and telling somebody is not an easy thing, especially reporting, because the first thing, the stigma is, and I read that to you or I explained it to you earlier, that it really didn't happen. Yeah, it happened. And we have to find a way to deal with it when you're a victim. You know, everybody can say, oh, that never would happen to me. Never say never, because that is one thing you never do. It can happen to you, okay? It can happen to you, and it'll happen to you, like I said, with the most familiar people in your life. It'll happen to you. When you're least expecting it can happen to you. And that's why we have to be very, very careful about saying what won't happen, you know, because we're not always on our guard. We're not always paying attention to what can happen to us. And that's, I know that's true, you know. I know that we can forget, or we don't, you know, we just don't have it in our minds of somebody that we know that, you know, has been in our life, who's been talking to us, who's been, you know, that really would hurt us. You know, we don't think that. We really don't think that can happen. But it can. And that's why we need to be very careful. Let's see. And here's another number I found. It's 1-800-772-7227. That is another hotline number that you can call just in case something like that happens to you or somebody that you want to talk to. And I'll say it again. It's 1-800-772-7227. You guys, I apologize for the mishap on the show tonight. I have to be more careful, or I have to. Okay. I'm hoping you guys have a great Memorial Day. I'm getting ready to sound off because it's time for me to go. I'm hoping you guys got something out of the show. I hope you can use some of this information that I gave you. And I hope you can around you and what's around you. And don't take everybody for granted to be your friend when it comes to situations like that. Watch who you're drinking around and be careful. This is CNBS. I'm sorry. This is Chocolate Lady 64. Sound me off. And you guys have a great evening and a great Memorial Day. Thank you. See you next Thursday. Same time, same bat channel. 8 p.m. Bye-bye.